Amen. If you turn your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5 through 12, I entitled this sermon, Justice is on the Way. And this is, again, one of those sermons that I would never preach on, quite honestly, if I didn't preach the way I preach and preach through the Word of God. So today I'm going to be talking a little bit about hell. And it's not one of my favorite subjects. And I, you know, this last night as I was going to bed, I said, God, I don't know how you preach on hell with grace, but you're going to have to help me to put grace into this sermon. And so you just be in prayer with me. But I promise I'm not going to preach a long time because, again, it's not one of my favorite subjects. So we're going to hit it and we're going to hit it hard. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, that's towards the back of the book. You get to Timothy, you've gone too far. So it says, which is manifest, he's talking about the trials and the tribulations that they have gone through. In verse 5, he said, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Since it's a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of his calling, fulfill all the good pleasures of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we worship and we honor you. I thank you, Lord, for such a spirit of your presence in this place. God, as we worshiped you and as we thanked you, Lord, your Holy Spirit entered into this house. And Lord, I pray that you have encouraged and you have strengthened and you have healed and you have touched the brokenhearted. You have comforted those that are hurting. And God, you have touched each and every one of us thus far. And Father, we pray now that as we apply your word to the rest of this service, that our ears would be open to hear what the Spirit of God says, so that we would not remain in the state that we are, that we would be matured by your word, and that we would grow in godliness. And God, that you would give us confidence and strength for those that are walking through difficult times, that we may endure the tribulation of this world, that we may be counted worthy of what you are doing in our life, and that we may, that our lives may count for the glory of God, that we may win others to Christ. God, we pray, Lord, that there'd be a spirit of maturity in this house, and that you would do a mighty work in each one of us. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Trouble is evidence that God is working in you. Isn't that good news? Hallelujah. That's worth shouting about. Oh, I'm having trouble. God is at work. Now, if you told me that on Highway 40 last Saturday, I probably would have smacked you. Trouble is evidence, Eric, that God is working. Well, God was really working last Saturday. And we have to endure things that we wish we did not. You know, I preached Terry Newsom's funeral last week, or the week before last, and Brother Ray's son. And I remember saying, sometimes life doesn't make sense, and the timing of God doesn't seem right. Man, a parent is not supposed to bury our children. That's just not supposed to happen. But it does happen. Difficulties come. Poverty comes. Despair comes. Sickness comes. Death comes. just a spirit of grief sometimes comes. Difficulties that you don't know how you're going to get through it comes. What are we going to do? We're going to trust God, that God's glory is going to get us through difficult times. I promise you, difficult times will come. God is so clear in this, that tribulations will come. He never, ever paints the story that is preached from many pulpits today, that if you will trust Him, if you will live for Him, life will be a bed of roses. That is not gospel. Gospel says, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome. So when trouble is brewing in your life, this is hard to do. But when trouble is brewing, I think we ought to say, thank you, Jesus, that I've been counted worthy to go through difficulty in this life. And I will trust in you. Whichever way it goes, I win. Hallelujah! Whichever way it goes, if I go by death, I win. If you heal me, I win. Hallelujah. Travis was sitting next to me on the first flight, and he asked me, I don't think he liked my answer much, but he asked me, he said, does it scare you to fly? And I said, no, don't scare me. I said, I figure if we have difficulty up there, 30 seconds, it's over, and I'm in glory. You know, I mean, it's a quick death. There's no survivors from an airplane crash. We go to glory. He just looked at me. He said, okay. But I'm praying we're going to get there. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. He says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We see trouble as something that we try to avoid at all costs. And he says, we should rejoice in these various trials because God is at work in us through the difficulties of life. And let me tell you, most of us are trained to try to keep an eye to witness and to share our life and share our values. I want you to know when the world really looks at you. When the world looks at you is when you're going through the worst time of your life. On the worst day of your life, they get their binoculars out and they say, let's see how deep their faith really goes. And when they see you go through the fire and still praise God, it touches them so deep that they cannot get away from that testimony. Romans chapter 8, verse 18 says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You know, I always think about heaven. It shall not be compared to the glory revealed. And I always think about heaven. But that doesn't say heaven. Did you read it? For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Not heaven, but the glory, the power, the presence of God that gives you the grace to walk through the difficulty will be revealed to you. There is something about going through difficult times and trusting God that He becomes sweeter than He's ever been before. It works in marriage also. You know, when you go through difficult times together in a marriage and you walk through it together, your marriage is never the same. I remember one time I'd done something I thought I was doing right. Wound up buying two houses at one time. I was going to sell ours and fixing it. The new one was just studs, so I had to complete it, finish it. And our house didn't sell for over 2 years, actually. It didn't sell. And I had to get a loan to try to fix the other house, second mortgage on it. So we had three house notes. I made about $7 an hour, and Treva made about that much too. That precious woman would go to the grocery store many times with $7, $9, $10 to feed a family of four for a week. We never asked for help. We never got help. We just depended on the Lord. And God was faithful. But I remember laying in bed one time, and I said, now we were never late on a payment. We never missed a payment. And we never missed our tithes. This is why I believe in tithing. And I said, Treva, I was just tired. I said, Treva, it looks like we may lose everything. We may lose both houses. And she said these words. This has been 30 years ago. She said, I'll live in a tent with you. She said, it doesn't matter. I'm going to tell you, your marriage is never the same when you go through difficulty and you cling together to walk together. Well, the same thing goes with God. You'll never be the same Christian that you are today when you go through something so difficult that it shakes you to your core, that you trust Him, that you did not defile His name, but you lean upon Him and you trust Him that He will get me through it, and He will not fail you. I promise you that. So this chapter is talking about the second coming of Christ. It's not talking about the rapture of the church. Now, it's a lot of fun to preach on the rapture of the church. It's not so much fun to preach on the second coming of Christ. In the rapture of the church, Jesus comes down in the clouds. He never touches earth, but He comes in the clouds and He stops and He blows the trumpet and the dead in Christ will rise. And then we which are alive and remain shall meet Him in the clouds. Praise the Lord. That's a fun time. That's when Mike Warnke says, when the trumpet sounds, you grab a sinner on both hands, and by halfway up you say, you boys want to accept Jesus or should I let go? Unfortunately, it's not going to work that way. But this is talking about the second coming of Christ. When God comes back, Jesus comes back. His feet hit the mountain, according to Zechariah. His feet will land on the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives will split in two. And He comes back to judge the world. According to John chapter 5, it says, verse 22 says, for the Father judges no man, but He's committed all judgment unto the Son. Why is that? Because the Son's been where you're at. The Son knows. The Son gave His life for you. Every temptation that you will ever face in life, Jesus has faced and came through it victoriously. Now, I don't know about you, but I want a judge that's been where I'm at. I don't want one that's never had to go through the temptations and the trials of this life. That's the judge that I could say, you don't understand. But you can't look at Jesus and say, you don't understand. Because He'll look right back and say, yes, I do. I've been where you're at. I've walked in your shoes. I know. It's Jesus that will bring judgment to this earth. And the judgment that He brings is just. That's what you got to understand. Hell seems unjust to me. I cannot comprehend hell in my mind and see that it's just. But I know according to the Word of God, it is just because they have denied and rejected the Son of God. You get it? So it's a righteous thing for God to bring tribulation on this earth. And not only tribulation, according to this chapter, He says tribulation on those who trouble you. It is not for you to take vengeance. You don't have to give someone a piece of your mind when they mistreat you. You just cast it over on the Lord, and one day God's going to make it right. God's going to bring justice on the earth for all the injustice. And we just got to trust Him during that time. And at that time, when God brings justice on the earth, what happens to us? Hebrews 4:9 says, there remains therefore a rest to the people of God. To the people of God, we will be resting in Him. Thank the Lord. But bad things are going to happen on the earth. Two things happen simultaneously. Judgment, what we call the tribulation period, is happening after the rapture of the church. The rapture happens, tribulation starts, goes for 7 years. But first 3.5 years is not so bad. At 3.5 years, the Antichrist sets himself up and says, I'm God. And that's when hell breaks loose. And God begins to pour out the judgment on the earth. But there are going to be people that are being saved on this earth, even though after the rapture, because they're going to know, they're going to see it, they're going to have wisdom. So on the earth, when Jesus comes back to bring the tribulation, there'll be believers on this earth, and God will protect them. So not everybody's going to die. His second coming, it says, will be with angels of His power. Angels of His power, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church has made it out to where serving Him is about being good. It's not about being good. You're not good. We're not. It's about believing. Do I believe that Jesus Christ came from heaven, lived on this earth, died for my sins, rose from the dead, and sits at the right hand of the Father? Do you believe in that? If you believe, will you follow Him? Because the word believe actually means to accept and obey. So it's not about saying a prayer. It's about believing and doing, following Him. It's not about being good. It's not about doing everything right. Now, I don't believe in saying, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner. No, I'm righteous in Jesus Christ. I think it changes the way we think. But it's all about believing in Jesus Christ. It says the angels will carry out the orders of Jesus to execute justice and mercy. Most of the earth is going to receive justice, which is not a good thing because they're in a bad place. But there's some on the earth that have believed in their time. They missed the rapture, but they have believed since then. And the Bible says they will receive mercy because God loves His children. Matthew chapter 13, 49 and 50. We've been studying the parables on Wednesday night. And some of these are things that, you know, you may have question about. So Matthew 13, verse 49, 50 says, so it will be at the end of the age, the angels will come forth and they'll separate the wicked from among the just and cast them in the furnace of fire. There'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. There'll be a separation going on the earth. You know, the Bible says in one of the parable of the wheat and the tares, that the weeds was growing up with the wheat. And they asked Jesus, do you want us to pull up the tares so that the wheat will grow? And He said, no, leave it alone. The angels will take care of that at the end. This is what it's talking about. When the angels, when Jesus comes back, then the angels are going to protect those who have believed in Him. And they're going to destroy those who have not. It's an amazing thing. Satan, the Antichrist, will get his forces together to stand before God. Can you be more foolish? I want to be on the right side. I don't know about you. But they're going to fight an unwinnable war. And it's going to be over in seconds. Because the power is going to come out of the mouth of Christ. And it's going to be over. So I don't like talking about hell, but let's talk about hell for just a second. It's amazing what people think of hell. We just dream up our own little things. What hell is going to be like. The Bible says there's going to be fire. There's going to be wailing, gnashing of teeth. Some people says, no, it's not really going to be that bad. It's, you know, yeah, I'm going to take God's word over your word. He's the one created hell. And let me just say this, and please hear me. If you don't hear another word that I've said, hear this one. Hell was not created for mankind. Hell was created for Satan. You don't have to go. God doesn't want you to go. It wasn't created for you. It's a place man was never intended to go. I believe what's so terrible about hell is that God's presence won't be there. And I don't think that we understand that. I don't think we understand how God's presence changes every atmosphere. Every place that we're at, it brings... Can you imagine? Have you ever been through a time when God just sort of shut up the heavens for you? Has anybody ever been through a time in their life where you just didn't feel like your prayers was being answered? You didn't feel His Spirit? You wasn't doing anything wrong? It just, there was an absence of God's presence. It's the worst time of your life. It's horrible. I believe God allows us to go through difficulties like that to mature us so that we don't walk by feeling, we walk by faith. We believe because the Word says it. I don't have to feel it. I believe God. I can't imagine. You see, with God, there's love. That's who He is. Describe yourself, God. I am love. I'm love. And with love comes joy and comes peace. You get that? And that's not in hell. There is no love in hell. There's no joy. There's no hope. Is there fire? I believe there is because the Scripture says there's fire. Where the worm dieth not. Is it bad? Yes, it's bad. It's bad enough that anybody that you know that's going to hell, it ought to bother you. I don't think it bothers most Christians much anymore. Hell's a wicked place. It's awful. I don't say that with any delight. And I especially don't expect you to go there. But I worry about those that we rub shoulders with every day of our life. Do you love people enough to tell them there is a hell that you need to shun and a heaven to gain? Right? That's old time Pentecostal preaching right there. Jude verse 14 and 15. He says, now Enoch. Jude is writing about Enoch, seventh one from Adam. Okay? Seventh from Adam. Prophesied about these men also, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of His saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. Judgment is on its way. I don't know how long we have, folks. Sometimes we like to think that America is getting wicked. I'm going to tell you, it's not America. It's worldwide. Do you know that it's okay for you to have sex with a 9-year-old girl in Chile? You won't get prosecuted because they have the right. A 9-year-old child... Those little girls were 8 years old. When they told me that, I thought, I hate that. It's wicked. It's okay to lay with the same sex. There is a wickedness not in America. There is a wickedness in the earth. The spirit of Antichrist is not going to be released. It's been released. It's already here. America has its share, but we're not alone in this thing. And it's not new. It's not new. I just believe with all my heart that we're going to see the rapture of the church. I believe it's going to happen. Then we will enter into the rest of God. But 7 years later, such judgment is coming that it ought to stir a little bit of fire in you to make sure. Let me tell you, my brother says this often. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But you can salt his oats. Right? Salt his oats to where he's so thirsty, he'll have to drink. And I think that's a word to the church. We can't make people repent, but we can salt their oats. We can tell them the way, can't we? We can show them. Many people think, well, I'll just live the life in front of them. And that's good. You live the life. But you're going to have to open your mouth too. You're going to have to tell them Jesus is the way. He's the only way. You don't get to make it up in your mind. You don't get to come up with your own plan. There's one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ and Him alone. And any denomination that does not preach that is a cult. You need to stay away from them. The penalty of judgment will be terrible, but it will be just. See, this is the one thing that we don't see. I see it. It tears my heart up that people would take advantage of a child. I think we could bring back some execution as far as I'm concerned when it comes to that. But we don't see how wicked it is to deny Christ. We don't get that one. We can't put that on the same level, but it's worse, actually. In the sight of God, those that would reject His Son is the most evil sin there is. Amen. To reject His Son that gave His life for them. We've got to tell the world. You hear me? We've got to tell them. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2 and 3 says, "For the word spoken through the angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receives a just reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him?" Don't neglect this great salvation. The last two verses of this chapter talked about three things that are necessary to escape that judgment. Number one, to be counted worthy by God of this calling. It matters how you live. It matters how you live. Now, we could get judgmental on this. We could talk about how you dress, how you wear your hair, how much jewelry you wear. But you just got to stop and say, is that really what God is about? No. Does God expect you to be modest? Absolutely. He expects modesty. But it's not up to us to regulate who wears what. That's God's business. What God cares about is your heart. You know, the heart, listen, this is the word. The heart is exceedingly wicked. That's the Bible. That's Bible. This heart that you have, that spiritual heart, it's exceedingly wicked. It takes a good God to change it. You can't do it on your own. You cannot be good enough for Jesus. It's all about believing. Are you being worthy of the calling? So there's another part of this that I'm saying, everyone's got a calling. God has called every one of us. God doesn't just call ministers. God calls each one of us. There's a calling on your life. Have you answered the call? I'm surprised of the people that when you say, "Did you pray about this?" No. I just thought it was right, so I did it. Let me tell you, you ought to pray about what job you take. You ought to pray about who you marry. You better listen closely to that one. If God says no, you say no. I don't care if she's cute. She won't be cute in a few months. That's good preaching, Pastor Eric. You're shepherding us today. Yes, I am. I can't tell you how many people I've asked that. Did you pray about this? No. No. Christians, I'm not talking about unbelievers. Let me tell you, before you go out on a date, which I don't even believe in dating, but before you take a girl out, you ought to pray. God, are you in this? And then you better respect that young lady. Don't do anything ungodly. Okay, that's not in the sermon, but that was worth something. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, and then verse 21, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. God forgives you, and he cleanses that old wicked heart, puts a new spirit inside of you. Thank you, Jesus. And then verse 21 says, for he made him who knew no sin, talking about Jesus, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He took your sin and he gave you his righteousness. So quit calling yourself a worm. Quit saying I'm a sinner. You were a sinner saved by grace. Now you are the righteousness of God. Why don't we catch that? It's not about you, it's about him. The second thing he says is God will fulfill or complete all the good pleasure of his goodness and his work of faith and power. God has created you to do something. There's a good work that God has created for you to do. And if you're drawing breath, he's still got a plan for you. He's still got something for you to do. You need to get busy and do what he tells you to do instead of what you're saying you want to do. But with that, we have a promise from God in Philippians 1:6 that says, being confident of this, that he who is faithful will complete a good work in you until the day of Jesus Christ. The work that he starts, he finishes in you. And I'm so thankful. So it's not about us. It's about God moving in us. And the third thing, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This got me. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him. You know, you hear me say this a lot. I want to be his poster child. Friend of mine, he was built worse than me. I mean, he had a big old belly. He worked out every day. Every day he'd go to the gym and he'd work out. And I used to think, you're doing something wrong, brother. I don't know what you're doing, but you're doing something wrong. And he would smile and he'd say, I'm their poster child. Everybody wants to be like me. I want you to think for just a second. You're God's poster child. Treva works at the courthouse. She's God's poster child in that office. People are supposed to see her and see Jesus in her. Let his light shine. Doesn't mean we're perfect. But I think we got to be more mindful that God has a work in us to do. I hate that we regulated that to the pulpit. It ain't about the pulpit. See, the pulpit is to inspire you and to mature you to go do the works of the grace of God. So. I'm ending. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 through 30 says, those whom he foreknew, he also predestined. Listen to the next couple of words. To be conformed to the image of his son. Those he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. in order that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And those he predestined, he called. Those he called, he justified. And those whom he justified, he glorified. And we don't quite understand the word glorified. But glorified, glorification, is the process. It's the process. It's the process of being conformed to the image of his son. I don't know where you're at on your spiritual journey, but I know what's happening. God is trying to make you a mirror of Jesus Christ. And if you want to shine on earth, become more like him. Let the glorification of God be at work in each one of us. Let's be glorified so we resemble the preciousness of our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, how does that work? How do you conform somebody with pressure? You ever worked with something? You ever worked with a waterbed? You feel like it's just in the wrong spot. You got it off somehow, and you're trying to move it. I remember. I maybe shouldn't tell this. I don't know. Holy Spirit might be saying, stop. When I was 19 years old, I worked at the hospital, and I worked in physical therapy. And then this lady, she was a large lady, heavy set lady. And I was going to do some things, some stimulation on her back. And her belly was big and soft and like jelly. And I'd never seen that before, I'm sorry. But I remember lifting her belly to slide this plate under. And when I lifted it, it just fell on this side. So I took this hand out and I lifted her belly on this side. And it just fell over. And no matter, I was just sitting there juggling her belly. Like, what do you do with this? So finally, I took my elbow and I raised her belly up, shoved that plate and let it back. I think sometimes that's what God does with us. He's conforming us and we just flipping this way and flipping. Sometimes you may feel like you're in the pressure cooker of life. Right? Come on back with me. We're in the pressure cooker of life. It feels like something is pushing on all sides. You need to stop and think, God's conforming me. God's allowing the pressure of this life to conform me into the image of his son. And if you can ever get that, your prayer will change. It will say, bring it on, God. Bring on the pressure, because I want to look like him. See, to me, living this life is not about avoiding hell. I don't worry about hell. I just want to be like him. I want to be like Jesus. Heaven is my home. I don't care how you want to argue with me today. You'll never take that away from me. I know where I'm going. I know if that plane crashed, I'd be singing Glory with the Angels today. And I'm not afraid of dying. I don't want to die. I'm a little afraid of pain. God, make it quick, would you? I ain't afraid of dying. But while I live, let my life count for him. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me? Never apologize for a service because it's God's word. There are a whole lot more subjects I'd rather preach about than hell. But we're going to teach it because God's word includes it. With that, though, comes a seriousness in every service that you got to say, okay, God, pastor teaches a certain way to get the fullness of the gospel to us. And he preached about hell. Preached about the judgment of God coming. I prayed before we started, he that has ears, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying. You need to allow the Holy Spirit right now to examine your heart and see if there's any wicked way. If there's anyone under the sound of my voice that says, I don't know for sure that I'll make it. You need to be right here, right now. You need to come. You need to drop the pride. I ain't going to hell for pride, I'm going to tell you. You need to drop the pride. Come hit your knees at this altar. And let's get this issue taken care of forever in your life. Jesus loves you. Hell wasn't prepared for you. Heaven was. Where we will live for eternity in God's presence. Isn't that an amazing thing? You know, the reason I love church so much is because when we get caught up in worship, I feel like we're experiencing a little bit of heaven. Just a taste of what heaven is going to be like. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, if there's any doubt, let's settle it today. I don't want anyone that ever hears me preach go to hell. But I will tell you this. Your blood's not on my hands anymore. Not today. Because you've heard the message. And the message is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You get it? Could he make it any simpler for us? It doesn't get any simpler than that. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. With every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, would you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you. I want to lead you in that prayer. Anyone? I believe that every one of us then are ready. Let me ask you this. Is Satan beating you over the head, saying you're not worthy? Would you raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's a battle I fight all the time where Satan says, you're not worthy of heaven. You don't deserve the love of God. Amen. I see those hands. Satan plays that game a long time in our life. Let me just tell you this. Satan's a liar. He's the father of all lies. And when he tells you something, it's like this. If his lips are moving, he's lying. So if he's whispering something in your ear, it's a lie. But we need to pray about it. I also want to say, if you're in bondage, being held captive to sin, that's not God's best for you. It could be drugs, could be pornography, could be evil thoughts, could be lying, stealing, gambling. I mean, my goodness, the list goes on. I want you to know that Jesus can break that bondage over your life if you'll trust him. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because people won't. So let's pray. Father God, we come before you right now, and I thank you, God, that every person on the sound of my voice is saved. They know that you're the Savior. They trust you and they believe in you. But God, Satan is speaking to some of them and telling them they're not worthy. They're not right. God, it's not about us being right. It's about us believing. I pray, God, right now that the voice of the enemy would be shut down in their life. Lord, I know that he's always going to speak, but Lord, give them ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and what the Satan is saying. And God, help them when they hear the voice of Satan to identify it and kick it out. Don't dwell on it. Stomp it where it belongs. Send it back to hell. God, I thank you, Lord, that you have the power to break sin off our life. Your word declares that sin has no dominion over us. So, Lord, those that are held in bondage to this lie or any other lie, that they need something of this world every day is wrong, God. We are dependent upon you. And you said you give us everything we need. Everything we need for life and godliness we find in Jesus Christ. I will not be dependent upon this world. I trust in you. God, I pray that the lies of the enemy would fall in Jesus' name, that we would not be held captive any longer, but we would go free, free indeed. In your precious name we pray. God, we pray for the church at Chile. God, magnify yourself in their presence. God, that's a hard life. I pray that you would show them grace. May the family of God grow in Chile. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Brother Denny, would you come?